Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Again today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled, How to Find God's Will. And actually, this series, there's five teachings in our CD album on how to find God's will. This is the first of three parts that have to do with God's will in your life. The first one is what we're teaching on, how to find God's will. The second one is going to be how to follow God's will. The third one will be how to fulfill God's will. And each one of these segments is going to have five teachings in it. We're now beginning the third teaching in the first part. This is the third out of five teachings in how to find God's will. And today what I want to do is share with you about what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says about becoming a living sacrifice. Let me go back and just say this, that I've already established that God has a destiny for every person. He doesn't just, you know, have a need and then look around and find who's already available, who's got talents and who he could use, and then he picks and chooses based on, the way you are right now. No, before you were ever formed in the womb, God had a purpose and a plan for your life, and he's dictated what his purpose and will for your life is. It's completely independent of your goodness and performance. It's not based on how talented or how worthy you are. It was chosen before the foundation of the world, and that doesn't automatically come to pass. You have to pursue it. And I've given a number of examples of people that missed God's will very clearly. Missed God's will. You don't really have to look any further than the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. And the Bible clearly shows that it was not God's will for them to spend 40 years in the wilderness. His will was for them to come out and enter into the promised land and subdue it and enter into this land flowing with milk and honey. And yet they rebelled at God's will, and God's perfect plan for their life did not come to pass. God has a perfect plan for your life, but he doesn't force it upon you. You always have the right to choose. But that's the very first thing that I emphasized, is that God has a plan for every one of us. Not a single person happened accidentally. It's all chosen by God, but you have to choose to cooperate. The second thing I talked about, if that's true, some people get to thinking, well, I've messed up. I've broken the plan that God had for my life. And then despair sits in like, well, man, I'm just useless. There's nothing I can do with the rest of my life. And the second thing I talked about was it's not too late. And I used primarily David as an example to show that David wasn't God's first choice. And yet look what God did with David. And even after David became the king of Israel and God began to use him, David messed up big time. And yet God blessed David and that woman, Bathsheba, the one that the relationship was conceived in adultery, and yet because they repented, God blessed them, and the child born to them was named Solomon. God named him Jedediah, which meant beloved of God, and he became the king of Israel. God spoke to him twice, appeared to him twice. He became the wisest man on the face of the earth. He became the richest man that has ever or will ever live in history. And God blessed this child that was conceived in a situation that originated in adultery. And so what that should do is bring hope to any of you. You know, I remember this one couple that the woman came to me, and she was in sin when she married her husband. It was totally wrong. She knew it wasn't right. She did it. And it was after they were married that her and her husband got born again. And then she fell in love with the Lord, and she wanted to do things God's way, and that relationship never should have happened. And this woman came to me, and she wanted to divorce her husband and go out and start all over again. And I used David and Bathsheba as an example. I said, look, I'm not trying to whitewash what you did. It was wrong, but look at David and Bathsheba. After it was over, God, because David humbled himself and repented, God blessed that relationship, and God can do the same for you. And she struggled with this for years, thinking that because she knew she was in sin when she got into this relationship, that she should somehow or another get out of it now. And yet you can't unscramble eggs by breaking another yolk. That's not the way that it works. Sometimes if you find yourself in a situation, you just have to humble yourself where you are, and God will bless it, and He can make something wonderful out of it, as He did with David and Bathsheba. So that's what we've already talked about. And what I want to do today is share with you what Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says. And let me just set this up by saying that I've used my personal testimony to introduce a lot of this teaching on how to find God's will. And when I was a senior in high school, for about a year and a half, through my senior year and then through the first 6 months of going to college, I just was seeking God's will. I was studying the Word, praying and asking God, you know, please reveal to me what you want me to do with my life. And the Lord gave me Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It was actually at Christmas time in 1967, and I was at a thing with a group of young people from our church, and it was a snow holiday where over in between Christmas and New Year's, we went tubing and skiing and things like this. And then at night, we would come together and we had a devotion. And the man who was doing the devotions read Romans 12, 1 and 2. And he was actually on his way to another point. But because I'd been seeking the Lord and I'd been preparing the soil and seeking and asking to know what God's will is, when he read these verses, it's like the very first time in my life that the Holy Spirit spoke to me in a dramatic, powerful way through the Scripture. And I mean, it just exploded in my heart. I don't think it was accidental. For a year and a half, I'd been asking, God, what's your will for my life? And when I heard these verses, it just exploded. And here's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when the very end of that second verse where it says the perfect will of God, all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is what I've been after. I've been asking and searching the Word, trying to find out what is the will of God for me. And these verses say that this will cause you to know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. As a matter of fact, Romans 12, 2 says you will prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And one of the first things I did was to look up all of these verses and make sure I understood exactly what these words were saying. And the word prove means to make manifest to your physical senses. And see, this was a perfect description of what I'd been seeking. I believe that God had a purpose for my life, but it wasn't manifest to me. I couldn't understand it. I knew it existed, I just didn't understand it. And when I read this and it says, you do these things and you will prove, make manifest to the physical senses the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Now, I'll just mention this and I'll explain this later as we go through this teaching. But notice it says the good, the acceptable, and then the perfect will of God. You don't go from having not ever experienced God's will into entering into His perfect will. There are steps and stages. You can't go from 0 to 1,000 miles an hour all at once. That's not acceleration. That's a wreck. Amen. If anybody was to go from 0 to 1,000 miles an hour, it'd kill you. You have to start and you accelerate. There's steps and stages. And it's the same in following God's will. If you have never really experienced God's will, He may give you some long-term idea of what's going to happen, but you are going to have to start out in just small ways, experiencing and stepping out in God's will, and you'll gain momentum and you'll get closer and closer. You know, in my own personal life, God told me that He called me to teach. Now, there's a lot of ways you could teach. You could teach in a Sunday school class. You could teach in a Bible study, or you could be a pastor, or you could, as I turned out to be, a traveling minister. And there was lots of ways. I just knew that I was gifted and had a gifting and a call to teach, but I didn't know exactly how it was going to be. But I started moving in that direction. And I did a number of things. I pastored 3 churches. I traveled for, 25 or 30 years through radio and putting things out and doing this. And finally, it was in 1999, June the 18th or 20th of 1999. Long story, but the Lord spoke to me and says, I was just now beginning to accomplish His will. That's after 31 years of seeking God and following His direction. And I'd pastored churches and I'd ministered and I'd had a radio ministry and I'd done all of these things. I'd put out millions of tapes, books, and different things. And the Lord told me I was just beginning to fulfill His will. If I would have died prior to my going on television January the 3rd, 2000, I would have missed God's will for my life. Not to say that I was out of the will of God before that, because I was seeking Him, pastoring churches and ministering to people, and I was learning and it was ministering to me, but God, it's like God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. I was just beginning to enter into the perfect will of God after 31 years of seeking Him. And you know, in a sense, that was encouraging and discouraging all at the same time. Discouraging in the sense that for 31 years, I hadn't been perfectly doing what God called me to do. But it was encouraging in the sense that it had been so good and I had had so many great things happen and I was so blessed where I was that if I was just then beginning to enter into the perfect will of God, then it was going to be even better. And so that was exciting. And so in my life, there is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I believe that for everyone, it's the same. And so I just say this for you, that when you go to seeking God's will, God may give you a glimpse of the future, but He won't fill in all of the details because, for one thing, it would make most of us so impatient and so dissatisfied with the steps that we have to take in between here and there that we wouldn't be able to maintain our pace. We would become dissatisfied, depressed, despondent about not reaching our goal. So God will just show you things one step at a time. And also, you have to grow. Like right now, it takes me about $20 million a year just to pay my bills. And with this expansion that we're doing, moving our offices and building a headquarters for our Charis Bible College to accommodate 2,500 students, I'm going to have to double my income basically this year or the next year. So I should be up to around $40 million a year that I have just to keep this U.S. ministry going. And that's not including all of our other offices in Canada and Uganda and South Africa and India and England and all of these other places. Just $40 million right here. If the Lord would have shown that to me back 35, 40 years ago, it would have overwhelmed me. I'd have thought, God, you got the wrong guy. But see, I've grown. And so this is one reason that God doesn't show you every detail, because it would overwhelm you. It would intimidate you. It would make you so that you just couldn't pace yourself. You would be so antsy to get to that end result. So He'll just show you things one step at a time, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. But when I heard this man read this passage, that phrase about the will of God stood out, and that was in between Christmas and New Year's of 1967. And from that time, in December of 1967 until March the 23rd, 1968, Romans 12, 1 and 2 became my focus. I said, this is what I want, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so I just backtracked from the end of that second verse up to the first verse of Romans chapter 12. And I began to start meditating on becoming a living sacrifice, which is just our reasonable service, and then renewing my mind through the Word of God. And I began to focus and say, God, what does this mean? And as the Lord began to give me revelation about what a living sacrifice was, I began to start making myself a living sacrifice and committing myself to be completely given over to God. And then on March the 23rd, 1968, I had this miraculous encounter with God. Now, some of you might be watching this program and never heard me talk about it, but if you've watched this program much at all, you've heard about that. Matter of fact, most people, when they graduate from our Bible college, this is one of the things that they know frontwards and backwards. They remember March the 23rd, 1968. It forever changed my life. And sometimes people hear me talk about this encounter I had with the Lord where He just poured His love out in my life and changed me, and I've never gotten over it. Never plan on getting over it. And some people hear me talk about that and they just think that God just sovereignly moved and came down and touched me and that I had nothing to do with it. Well, in one sense, I had nothing to do with it. I certainly didn't deserve it. But you know what? I had been seeking God for 18 months about what is your will for my life. And then for about 3 months, I had been praying Romans 12, 1 and 2. God, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? God, help me to renew my mind. I had been preparing the soil. And the point I'm trying to make here is I'm talking about how to find God's will. And I'm beginning to get into some of the really nuts and bolts of how it works. But it doesn't happen accidentally. The Lord reveals Himself to people who are seeking for that revelation. He doesn't just sovereignly come down. And when you're going your own direction and you don't want anything to do with God and you aren't thinking about God, God doesn't just sit and arrest you and all of a sudden change your life. Now, some people have that attitude. Some people will even interpret scriptures like the 9th chapter of the book of Acts where Paul had this miraculous encounter with the Lord and he was on his way to persecute the Christians and God just appeared in this blinding flash of light and an audible voice and changed his life and they think God just totally intervened and he wasn't looking or expecting anything. And it might appear that at first glance, but when you listen to what the Lord told Paul, he said, "Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks." Some translations say kick against the goads. And if you will look back in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, in context, just a couple of chapters before this instance, you find that when Stephen was giving his testimony and talking, and he was under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, it says they were all pricked in their heart. That's talking about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And Saul was one of those that was there. The people who stoned Stephen to death put their coats down at his feet, and he kept the coats while they were killing Stephen. And they were all pricked in their heart. And then when Jesus appeared unto Saul, he said, "Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks." In other words, God had been pricking him, convicting him, and dealing with him. We don't know the period of time, but at least for months, maybe a year or whatever, God had been dealing with him. He had been having doubts about him being so adamant against persecuting these Christians. The Holy Spirit had been dealing with him. And so whether it's obvious at first glance or not, there is a reason why God intervenes in some people's lives. There are reasons why some people have experiences where God reveals Himself to them, and it's because they have been seeking. It says in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's verse 6, says, "Blessed are those that are hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The reason some people get filled is because they are hungry for it. If you look over in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 is a familiar passage of Scripture to a lot of people. It says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And then in verse 12, it talks about you seeking Him. And then verse 13, it says, "You shall seek me and you shall find me when you shall search for me with all your heart," not part of your heart. There's a lot of people that they are so occupied with life. They're just cumbered. You know, the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things are choking the Word of God in their life. That's the illustration that Jesus used in Mark chapter 4. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke the Word of God. There are some people that are just so occupied with life and living that they throw a prayer out, "No, God, reveal your will to me." But they only give Him a minute or 2 minutes. And then they got to go back to their favorite TV or they're back to carrying their kids here or there or doing whatever. And they just don't have time. You know what? You aren't going to necessarily have God reveal Himself to you if all you do is give Him a couple of moments and say, "God, I've got 3 minutes before my favorite sports thing comes on. And in the next 3 minutes, if you can change my life, I'm willing to listen." You know, God doesn't respond to us like that. It says, "You shall seek me and you shall find me when you shall search with all your heart." When you search with all of your heart, when you get to where you are sick and tired of being sick and tired and you are going to find God. You are going to get a revelation of His will for your life, and you're going to do whatever it takes. And you aren't satisfied with just being normal. You are going to find God's perfect will for your life. When you get to where you are searching with all of your heart, you've got the promise that He will reveal Himself to you. I've had people before challenge me and say, well, I've prayed and I've asked God and nothing happened. Well, then I have to say, based on the Word of God, you weren't searching with all of your heart, because it says when you search with all of your heart, you will find Him. And so in my case, I had been seeking for a year and a half, and for about 3 or 4 months, constantly doing everything I could to say, God, I want to be a living sacrifice. Then I experienced a revelation of God's will for my life. And I believe that this is going to be one of the very first steps to you. If you've accepted all the things that I've said up to here, and if you believe that God has a purpose for your life, that you aren't a mistake, that you didn't just happen, that before you were ever born, God had already written out all of the things He wanted to accomplish through your life. If you believe that, and if you are seeking God for wisdom, then the next step is to recognize that you have to seek with all of your heart. You have to become a living sacrifice. And then, and only then, after you have made a commitment of your life to the Lord, will you experience manifesting or proving the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I tell you, one of the biggest detriments to you knowing God's will is just the fact that you can live without it. As long as you can live without knowing God's will for your life, I believe you will. But when you get to a place where I'm not going to live this way anymore, I'm not going to go through 70 or 80 years of life and at the end just hope that my life made a difference and hope that I somehow or another stumbled upon the will of God for my life. But instead, if you would just make a decision that, you know what, I am going to pursue God. If I seek, I'll find. If I knock, it'll be open. If I ask, it's going to be given unto me. You get to where you are aggressively, actively desiring the will of God, and God will reveal it to you. He will show it to you. That's what happened to me. 18 months for me. Now, I don't think you'd have to take 18 months for you, but I had no role model. I had nobody to school me or mentor me in this. I was just reading the Bible from cover to cover, not having any direction about where to go. I'm giving you some direction and sharing things with you that hopefully can shorten the process for you. But even though the timing may be different, it's the same principle that you have to get as committed as what I was to where you are seeking, God, I've got to know Your will. I am not going to just do something for the sake of doing it. I am not going to, Moses said this to the Lord. He was asking God to reveal Himself, and God said, I will be with you and I will go with you. And Moses responded in Exodus chapter 32, and he says, God, if you don't go with me, I'm not moving. I'm not going to get up from this place unless you go with me. You need to get to that place to where, God, I'm not going to take another step until I know Your direction for my life. And when you get there, God will reveal Himself to you. I've got more to share on this, and I'll continue it on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen to our announcer. Please call or write today, and then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Find God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes 3 albums, How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting 4 stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled Becoming a Living Sacrifice, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar this week, July 15th through the 17th. In Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
This Bible teacher started with the simple message of God's unconditional love and grace. For years, he and his wife duplicated teaching tapes in their own home. He went on radio and often gave his teachings away to those who asked for them. Years later, a small building was needed to house a few volunteers and employees. The ministry grew until it was bursting at the seams. Soon, the next 15,000 square foot building became too small as a Bible college and television ministry were launched. Today, a 110,000 square foot building is running out of room. 157 acres have been purchased to accommodate the growth, but the message remains the same. It's the gospel truth. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on Today's News Feature. When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.